Over the past few months, we've been telling you about servicemen and women who've been denied their disability and medical benefits after the military diagnoses them with personality disorders that they don't have. Well, yesterday, a congressional committee took up the issue, interviewing veterans, military leaders, and medical experts.
Well, sitting right in front of us with a brand spanking new blue shirt, Joshua Kors, he dug into this issue for The Nation magazine. Josh was also on the Hill yesterday testifying. And he joins us in studio. Thanks for coming in the studio this morning, Josh.
Thank you, David.
Did you have whiplash getting up this morning this early?
It was early. That's
for
sure.
You look a little green around the gills, but that's okay. You showed effort coming down now. Now, what was it like to testify? Were you nervous?
Wasn't nervous. There was a very receptive audience. These were congressmen who were simply angry and frustrated that the Army is letting thousands of wounded veterans be denied disability and medical benefits and actually ending up owing the Army several $1,000s.
That's outrageous.
Because of this pre-existing personality disorder diagnosis.
Josh, we're going to just stop here for a second. You know, I've been in the military. I know a lot of guys have been in the military. I have never heard of this before as far as blaming it on personality disorder. What the heck is a personality disorder?
Technically, it's a pre-existing condition so severe that one wouldn't be able to serve from his very first day. In all the cases I looked at in my 10 months reporting on this story, we were looking at soldiers who were deemed perfectly healthy to join the military, Then deemed healthy yet again in a second screening before being deployed to Iraq. It's only when they're wounded in action and seek benefits that this pre-existing condition was discovered. And Jessica, Yesterday Congress heard from one of those soldiers, Specialist John Town, who was struck by a rocket in Iraq and lost a lot of his hearing because of that explosion, also ended up with memory loss, headaches, terrible insomnia. The Surgeon General, Gail Pollack, deemed his hearing loss the result of a pre-existing personality disorder.
What was the reaction to his story and your reporting when you were testifying yesterday on the Hill?
The reaction to my reporting was very strong. One of the congressmen held me as an example of the Fourth Estate. Congressman Filner was very clear from the beginning. We're here to investigate the reporting of Joshua Kors. To John, it was as warm and receptive as can be. I mean, he had his story about the Purple Heart right there. The contradiction was clear for everybody. To have a man rewarded with a Purple Heart because he was wounded in war,
right,
and then to have the Surgeon General come out and say he wasn't wounded in war.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about the chain of command here? What does the Surgeon General have to do with any of this?
Well,
I didn't think he or she was in the military chain of command as far as medical stuff in the military is concerned.
Yeah, Surgeon General Gail Pollack was asked to do review of a stack of personality disorder cases, including Specialist John Towns, who was testifying.
And so how did she make that diagnosis? Through video? Did she actually speak to the soldier?
And that's part of what this scandal is about. During her five-month, what she called a thoughtful and thorough review, she didn't interview a single person.
Hmm. Oh, that's lovely.
Not even the soldiers whose cases she was looking at. All they did do is go back to the doctor's office where many of these false diagnoses were made and said, hey, did you get it right the first time?
There's a statistic that 22,000 service members have been discharged with personality disorder since 2001. That is a tremendous amount of people. We have some sound of John Town testifying yesterday. Let's hear part of his story.
I shouldn't be labeled for the rest of my life with a personality disorder, and neither should my fellow soldiers who also incorrectly received this stigma.
Personality disorder, this is something new to me. I haven't heard this before until this testimony. Who came up with this this term, personality disorder? Who's responsible for this?
That's a great question. I don't know, but I've spoken with...
How do we find out? Because I want to tell you why. You got thousands of soldiers and Marines, sailors, and airmen out here who are getting hosed.
Mm.
And I'd like to know who the heck's responsible for that. Can you put that on your list of to-do things?
I certainly will.
Okay, Joshua.
You know, I've spoken with doctors who've talked about this being around for a long time. I had a great conversation with Frank Ochberg, the doctor who codified PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And he said that in years past, it was actually worse. Since there was no PTSD,
right,
you either got the phony diagnosis of a pre-existing personality disorder Or nothing. There was no alternative.
So I just want to know what the definition of a personality disorder is. I mean, well, what is the definition of that?
Yeah, you can't get lost in the details. It's simply because personality disorder really has...
I laugh at the wrong times? I mean, what is that?
The personality disorder condition really has nothing to do with the diagnosis. For example, I looked at soldiers who suffered a bilateral hernia in Iraq. His condition was seen as the result of personality disorder. Another case, the soldier who damaged the lens of his eyeball in Iraq, that was seen as the result of personality disorder.
This is happening so much. Where is this coming from? And this being these diagnoses and these discharges of personality disorder, which will follow these service members for a long time. You've talked about how they don't get their disability payments, how they have to pay the military back their bonus. Mm-hmm. Where is this coming from? 22,000. That is a lot of people.
That's right. They have to pay back their bonus for the years that they're too wounded to serve. Where is this coming from? And that's a great question. That's part of why folks gathered on Capitol Hill too.
Is this a budget issue?
Well,
I hate to say it like that, but it smells like that.
Sounds that way.
We don't want to pay for this, but we asked these brave men and women to sacrifice, and when they come home, they get hosed over by saying it's a personality disorder.
Budget concerns are part of it. By cheating these wounded veterans out of their benefits, they're saving $12.5 billion in disability and medical care, and that creates a lot of pressure. I spoke with a psychiatrist just the other day who told me how they were pressured to underdiagnose, as they put it, to assuage the staff who was looking at war-related wounds and make it seem like a pre-existing condition so they could flush them out the door much faster and without benefits.
You know, Joshua, we want to thank you for coming in. The last thing we want to talk about is what now? I mean, I feel for these soldiers and sailors who are being kind of, you know, pushed off to the side. What's being done for these guys and women?
The point of the hearings was to look at two points of action. One, what's going to happen to Surgeon General Gail Pollack, who completed this sham review and is responsible for the health of these thousands of wounded veterans? And second, is anyone going to go back and look at these 22,500 cases and dig out the thousands of John Towns who are waiting there right now, wounded, without benefits, and without the public spotlight?
Well, Joshua, I want to thank you for coming in. Joshua Kors, a journalist, and following up on this. You'll stay on this story, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And we'll continue to have you on this story. Thank you so much.